greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the great head of the church. And it is good to be here at Union University. This is a special place, and I hope you thank the Lord regularly for the privilege to study and spend 4 years here. Or maybe for some of you all, 5 or 6 years, just depending on your pace. It was really moving to sing those songs and to sing them just kind of in a relaxed setting of Christians gathered here together. I can remember as a child, I can remember my late grandparents singing those exact same songs, but the songs had a different moan to them, coming out of the segregated South and their experiences to gather together to worship and sing those songs, "I Want Jesus to Walk with Me While I'm on My Tedious Journey." I was just thinking about how different my journey is from that of my grandfather's. What was tedious for me was, you know, do I want to get up early enough to swim at the hotel before I go to chapel? That was like the tedious decision this morning. Are you going to get out the bed? Are you going to get out the bed? Whereas when my grandparents were singing those songs, I know I've been changed. It was a different moan to it. So it's just refreshing today to worship with you in singing. Thank Dr. Thornberry for this invitation. I used to wonder, how could people leave one of the greatest seminaries in the world? And I figured it out. It's to come to one of the greatest universities in the world. And he gets to dress a lot cooler than I do at Southern. I get it now, brother. Well, let me invite you to the second chapter of Jeremiah, because they put the black man on the clock. I heard Brian Laritz say that a couple of years ago. Yeah, they put the black man on the clock. In his absence, I do want to just thank the Lord for your president. I always frequently say my two favorite Southern Baptists by far are David Dockery and Timothy George. And when I'm around Timothy George, I say Timothy George and David Dockery. But it's those two people, for they have given me a model of contending for biblical truth and Christian conviction without being contentious. People that don't agree with Dr. Dockery like him and want to be around him. I mean, when I was studying, I teach church history and studying the Southern Baptist controversy. He edited a volume one time called Beyond the Impasse. And it was amazing the kind of people that he could bring together on different sides of a conflict to discuss and write in a godly way, in a way to seek to honor the Lord. And so I'm just very thankful for his example. When I was your age in college, I was drinking too much of Martin Luther's Kool-Aid. And I thought you had to contend for the truth and make sure you call somebody like the great whore of Babylon. I thought those two things went together. And then to meet David Dockery and Timothy George gave me another model of contending for the faith. And so I always thank the Lord for him. Jeremiah chapter 2. I'll read from the real NIV, the 1984. The word of the Lord came to me. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. I remember the devotion of your youth, How as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols, became worthless themselves. No one, as they turn 21 or 22, or as they graduate from union, no one wants to hear their parents say, I really used to love you when you were in sixth grade. No one wants to meet in college and get married, and 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road, your spouse say, I really used to love you when we met at Union. No one wants to feel like the love and the commitment and the fellowship of a relationship has passed away. No one wants to feel like the best days of our relationship are in the past. And yet here in Jeremiah chapter 2, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, is speaking to a people who have been unfaithful to God. He's speaking to a people who have a legacy of idolatry from evil kings like Jeroboam and Manasseh. He's speaking to a people who have an external form of worship, but as Jesus says in the Gospels, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And God calls out to these people, I remember what our relationship used to be like. And that's a bad feeling. My wife has a, I think it's a bad habit. She thinks it's funny. I don't think it's funny. People that haven't been at church for a while, and then they come to church, and they come down the line, and my wife and I standing there, and we're greeting people, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And my wife's like, who are you? I'm like, babe, when people have been away and they come back and they repent, don't make them feel bad for coming back. She said, oh, they know I'm just playing. I'm like, no, they don't know you're just playing. But her point is, we used to know each other well. We used to eat dinner together on Sundays. We used to have fellowship in small groups. We used to come to women's groups or men's groups. You used to be a vital part of this Christian fellowship, and you've drifted away. And now you're back, and I like to, like, kind of overlook the gap. How you doing? Just, and my wife, no, I want them to know there's been a gap. God is saying to his people here, our relationship is in no way what it used to be. Now, I don't know who's a senior. I don't know who's a junior. I don't know who's a freshman. But as you leave this place, as you go through this place, as you move just from high school through college, you don't want the strength and the vitality and the intimacy and the power of your relationship with God to be past tense. And you certainly don't want to feel the conviction of the Spirit saying to you, I remember you. Every June, when we go to the Southern Baptist Convention, you reestablish relationships that aren't intimate relationships. They just kind of passing relationships. And you see somebody, hey, I remember you, didn't you? Yeah, I remember, aren't you? There aren't intimate relationships, but you don't wake up with your family in your house and look at them in the morning and say, I remember you. No, that's a continuous, living, vital relationship that does not need the process of becoming reacquainted over and over, or reminding of how good the relationship used to be. God says to the people through the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me. Go and proclaim in the hearing of the people. Shout this out to the people. I remember the devotion of your youth. How as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through a land that was not sown. God is reminding them of the great Exodus when he brought Israel out of Egypt. And he's saying, I remember how our relationship was when it didn't even matter what you had. It didn't even matter about your life situation. Your joy was to have been delivered from Egypt and to be in relationship with God. Say, I remember when you loved me and you were faithful to me and you had nothing. I was a preacher when I met my wife, and I was going to be a preacher, and I wanted to make sure she knew I was going to be a preacher, and so I gave her the best lowball proposal I could figure out. I am a preacher. I don't know if I'll ever make any money. I'll always have people upset with me because I'm a preach the Bible, and I don't care what they think. I don't know where we're going. We could go to a nice church. We could go to a mean, evil church. We could go to the mission field. I just have no idea. I'm just a preacher. And ever since I met you, you've been kind of distracting my thoughts. And that's it. And she said, yes. And I was a missions pastor at a church, and we moved into the church mission house. And while we were waiting on some furniture the first week or two, we were on a mattress on the floor. And while we were waiting for some dishes the first week or two, we were eating a lot of McDonald's, which is why she doesn't like McDonald's to this day. And we look back We look back every Valentine's Day or anniversary, we look back with great pleasure on those beat-up years. When it didn't matter what we had, it didn't matter about the life situation, we were just like, glad to be married, yes. God says, I remember when you followed me in the wilderness. I remember when you didn't even know where you were going. You were just following me as I led you through the wilderness. You didn't have anything. You didn't know what the final outcome would be, but we were close. We were intimate. I remember when I gave you the law on Mount Sinai. How many of y'all think about the giving of the law as like God marrying Israel? I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. God is saying, I remember what our relationship used to be. How did it get like this? Now they come into his temple, and instead of worshiping the true God, they worship the moon and the stars and animals. Now they come into his temple, and instead of receiving the sacrifices from the people and offering them unto God, they receive the sacrifices from the people and put them on the side for themselves. Now they come into the temple, and instead of honoring the people, they engage in all kind of prostitution and illicit sexuality and all kind of things that dishonor God. And they still maintain a priesthood. They still maintain the appearance of religion. And God says to them all through the book of Jeremiah, your heart is far from me. And he says right here, particularly in chapter 2, I remember what our relationship used to be like. Don't come to the transition from high school to college. Don't go from the transition from college to the working world or graduate school and find yourself at a point where your relationship with God is not what it used to be. It has deteriorated. It has deteriorated. Or has been destroyed by the distractions of idolatry, by the distractions of the world, by the distractions of the sinful tendencies of the flesh. He says Israel was holiness, or Israel was holy to the Lord, and the first fruits of his harvest. Don't let the best days of your Christian life be in the past. Don't let your fruit be was fruit. She was this. He was this. But now, oh no, don't let that be the case. Let your relationship be as Peter says. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to walk with me. May that walk get closer day by day, month by month, and year by year. May we be strong in the Lord and the courage and the power of his might. May we get stronger and more godly and sanctified in our relationship with God. May we get more ability to resist the temptations of the idols of this world. May we hear the conviction of the Spirit as God calls his people back from filthiness and idolatry and distraction. Let me tell you something you lose when you stray away from close, intimate fellowship with God. He says in the third verse, all who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, says the Lord. See, the distractions of idolatry, the distractions of the world and of the flesh, when they say, come away from God, come away from the covenant of God, come away from the word of God, come away from the fellowship of God's people, they don't say that when you drift away from God, when you move from God's presence, you also move from God's protection. When the covenant was established, God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. But now, as they've drifted into idolatry, they drifted from that position where God would take care of those who came against Israel. And he says, you know, it used to be where if someone bothered y'all, I would take care of them. But when you stray away from God, you stray away from his protection. A horrible story in Genesis. We know about the sons of Jacob, but he had a daughter, Dinah. And the Bible says that Dinah left out from under the authority of her father's house one day because she wanted to go out into the land and see what the girls of the land lived like. And the Bible says she was raped while she was out in the land. Now, she wouldn't have been raped in her father's house, because there's protection. She wouldn't have been raped in her father's house because there's security, but she was raped when she left out from under the authority of her father's house to be curious about what was going on out there. When you leave from the presence of God, when you are not in intimate fellowship with God, you are also leaving from the protection of God. And I tell you, everything in this world, much in this world, not everything, but much in this world wants to destroy you. Much in this world wants to sour you. Much in this world wants to corrupt you. And if I were you, I would want to walk close with God and have the protective presence of the living God in my life. I would want that. This is a media savvy world. All y'all have to do is look around and look how lives are being destroyed when people want to live them on their own terms in their own way without the presence of God. Find the happy celebrity. Find the happy movie star. Find the happy politician who hasn't had an affair. Find the happy professional. Find the happy doctor. Find the happy friend you have on Facebook. I look back at my college days, people on Facebook. Everybody, the American posture is, let me have a bottle or a glass in my hand. Because my life is so empty and sour, I need a constant something to get me out of this present state. Why is alcohol so prominent in America? Because lives are so empty in America. Why is the joy of a Friday or Saturday evening getting drunk out of my mind? Because the Monday through Friday of my life sucks. That's American life. That's the life of people walking around, living life on their own terms, in their own manner, without a relationship with the God who created them. Israel was holiness to the Lord, past tense. Israel used to have the protective presence of God, past tense. Now they're just out there in the wilderness, worshiping idols, practicing all kind of ungodly practices, fooling themselves with a form of religion, and now God just exposes them, regardless of your form of religion, regardless of how moral you think you are or the appearance you want to put forward, regardless of the show that you put on, God is declaring to the people, I see through that, and our relationship is not what it used to be. Please, nothing this world can offer is worth sacrificing intimacy with the true and living God. Most people want to get married and have relationships. But I'm amazed, and it's not just young people, 40-year-old people in our congregation do it. I'm amazed when people meet someone who pulls them away from the Lord, and they say, you think this person is a blessing from the Lord? I'm like, oh God, did you grow up in a house where they were smoking marijuana and you had like secondhand contact? Where are your brains? How can a person who draws you away from the Lord be a blessing from the Lord? How can a job that draws you away from the Lord be a blessing from the Lord? How can any situation or person that draws you away from the Lord and calls you to serve it in a way that you should serve God, how can that be a blessing from the Lord? God says to an unfaithful, idol-worshiping people, we made covenant. We took vows. I gave the law. You said, of all that God says, we will do that. What was the first thing God said? What was the first thing God said? I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, for I the Lord your God am a jealous God. The first thing God says is don't give anyone else or anything else what you ought to give me. It's the first, that's how God introduces himself. That's exactly what they've done. Does that feel good? I used to love you. And I still want you to think I love you. But the intimacy I used to have with you, I'm now having with this idol. Does that feel good? I mean, when you see these politicians up here crying and you see their wives standing next to them, are any of the wives smiling? Does that feel good when the loyalty and the commitment that you expect for you based upon the parameters of the relationship, that loyalty, that commitment is given to someone else or something else? Does that feel good? If we declare, and you can find these parameters in Exodus 32 when they made the golden calf. If we declare anything more than we declare the true and the living God, if we serve anything more than we serve the true and the living God, if we meditate upon anything and have as the desire of our hearts anything more than the true and the living God, then we have developed an idol. It can be people. It can be situations and circumstances. It could be material items and possessions. The whole prosperity gospel is built upon the idolatry of wealth and materials. And when that's happening, whether you want to say it with your lips or not, you have forsaken God and began to give the allegiance and the devotions that should be given to God. You're now giving that to an idol. And whether you like to acknowledge it or not, you have turned your back on God. Now, here's a convicting question. I hate this question when I'm in an office with a couple, or usually one or the other spouse, and they've tried to be a faithful spouse and their spouse has been unfaithful to them. I hate this question. What did I do? I hate that question. I hate to be down at the jail helping somebody get their kids out of the jail or child out of the jail. And some parent will look over and say, what did I do? What did I do? I hate that question when someone has been betrayed or feels betrayed in a relationship and they just can't figure out what they did to provoke that betrayal. And so here in the fourth verse, he says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. I hate this question. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? You've left God. Tell them why you've left. What fault have you found in me? You were slaves in Egypt, brought you up out of Egypt, gave you an identity, declared you to be my people. You drove out greater enemies. People feared you because they knew my presence was among you. What fault have you found in me? You asked for a king. I gave you a king. What fault have you found in me? You chose a king. He was not the right king. I gave you a king after my own heart. I raised you up as a mighty people. What fault have you found in me? You begin to forsake me. You begin to be unfaithful. And yet whenever you repented, I relented. What fault have you found in me? I've provided for you. I've made sure that things were properly prepared for you. I've done everything that I have promised to you. I've kept my promises. I've not let one of my words come up short with you. What fault have you found in me? Think about that question. When the idols of this world seek to pull you away from the true and the living God. What in God would make me leave God? I used to work in the United States Senate. And when I came out of undergrad, I sure was idealistic and stupid. I went to work in the United States Senate, and I was like, be up here with James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and American statesmen. And I remember getting in a Senate elevator and I was like, that's Ted Kennedy. And they shut the gate and we were on the elevator and like the alcohol just began to come through his pores. And like three floors later, I was like, man, you stink. Then I met Jim Sasser, who was then from Tennessee. But unfortunately, I met a lot of people who didn't care about the states they served. They just wanted to get reelected. I saw people take bribes or what appeared to me to be bribes. And you begin to see the stuff behind, and you just get totally disillusioned. And so like a year and a half later, I'm walking away from the United States Senate, and my parents are like, you wanted to work in the Senate, why are you leaving? And I could give them like 25 reasons. And my friends are like, you wanted to work in the Senate, man, everybody tries to get into the Senate, not the House of Representatives, why are you leaving? And I could give them like 25 reasons. And my friends in the hood, they're like, man, it's not that many black people up there in the Senate, why are you leaving? I could give them like 25 reasons. I could give them 25 reasons. I worked as an auditor in New York City at Coopers & Lybrand, which was then one of the Big Eight accounting firms. I think they're about four or five now. And I worked in Rockefeller Center, the Exxon building. You could come out of work any day and have some Valdez oil protester throw oil on you. Not me. Because I've been watching this. I knew I'd walk out the building and mean mug them. You know, well, the white people just kind of walked out the building. I walked out the building like, yeah, you throw some oil on me, I'll bust you. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time in warehouses on Wall Street, auditing Wall Street firms and brokerage houses. And so you meet those executives, you meet some of those directors. And their life is full of alcohol. None of them were still married to the wife of their youth. And I walked away from, and my friend, man, how could you, man, everybody wants to work in New York City, Wall Street, what are you doing, man? And I could give them 25 reasons why I left. But brothers and sisters, what is a good answer to God saying, why have you left me? What is a good answer to that? If you're here and you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, everything about this world can disappoint you. Maybe the global warming research, maybe some of it has been fabricated. That story came out. Everything in this world can disappoint you. But the Lord God, He's a steady rock. No one who has walked away from the church, no one who has walked away from the authority of Scripture, no one who has walked away from intimate fellowship with the Lord God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No one who's walked away will stand up today after they've been beat up by the world, after they've been disappointed by idolatry, after they have reaped the consequences of their choices and say, oh yeah, I'm glad I did that. I'd love to do that again. No one who's left true love waits and engaged in fornication and then they have baby mama drama or baby daddy drama all over the place. None of them would say, oh, yes, I'm glad I left the commitment to godly sexuality. I'd do that again. No one who walks away from God and the things of God gets down the road and says, oh, yeah, that was a good choice. So the next time something is pulling at you, the next time you feel yourself maybe yielding to temptation, ask yourself, what would I say if God asked me, why did you leave me? Let's not have a past tense relationship. Let's have a present tense relationship with the Lord God with a future expectation. I have been saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. I have been sanctified, I am being sanctified, and I shall be ultimately sanctified. I love Jesus in high school. I love Jesus at Union, and I'm going to love Jesus for the rest of my life. There's a gospel songwriter who's dead. He died in an unfortunate car accident. He was a pastor in New York City, Timothy Wright. And he had a fast, jamming gospel song. For the rest of my life, I'll serve him. Let that be your motto. For the rest of my life, I'll serve the Lord. And anything or anyone that tries to get me off that path, it's not a blessing from God. For the rest of my life, I'll serve the Lord. Israel was holiness. Israel used to be protected. I remember when. Don't let the Spirit of God convict you with those words. I remember when. No. Let your relationship be this fresh. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Yeah, y'all came from different kind of churches, because most time I would have said, woke up this morning, and y'all would have caught me on the second phrase, stayed. No, don't worry about that. Let it be present and fresh with future expectation, not something you remember from high school or middle school or youth group. Present and fresh. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being around these precious brothers and sisters in Christ and wonderful young men and young ladies who perhaps are not followers of Christ. I just thank you for the privilege of being around them. Those that have made a covenant with you, those who have repented of their sin and trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that nothing in this world would have the ability to make them consider walking away from that commitment. I pray that you would keep them from unfaithfulness. I pray that you would keep them from idols. I pray that you would keep them from loving the world. Pray that you would keep them from loving riches. I pray that you would keep them from submitting to the ungodly callings of the flesh. I pray that you would give them the ability to, by the Spirit of God, mortify and kill the deeds of the flesh. And I pray that you would give them the boldness to resist the devil and watch him flee. Let a young woman in here today, Lord, know that she can faithfully walk with you from 22 to 82. Let a young man in here know, Lord, that he can walk with you from 20 to 90. May our hearts never turn from you. Bless these students, I pray, Lord, through this semester. Give them discipline and focus. And Lord, I not only pray for these students, I pray for the faculty and administration. May the pursuit of tenure and awards and other such things, may they keep all those things in proper balance, lest any of us be tempted towards idolatry. Help us all, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and hold everything else secondary to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are embarrassed when your Spirit says, "What did I do to make you leave?" You have been nothing but wonderful, marvelous, great, good, awesome, incredible. We stand amazed with the Apostle John. Behold, what manner of love is this that you have bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? You have loved us in such a way, Lord, how dare we ever consider serving an idol? I pray that you might seal these students in the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.